The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, Noah in Arizona. Hello, everyone listening. Welcome to another week of the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I am so excited to be talking to you guys again. I listened to our podcast last night. I like don't listen to the show because I live it. People always want me to like watch things I've done, and I don't really, I'm too self-critical, and I just don't want to. It was so fun when I do it that I don't want to go back and watch it because it can't be better than the memory of living it. But guess what? It was. I was like, I don't know why I was in the mood for it. I think my ADD meds were kicking in. I was in really good mood. I just played guitar. I had like kind of done a thing on a song that I've been working on like so hard, and I recorded myself and I watched myself on guitar, and I'm like, why do I love watching myself play guitar? And I'm terrible at it. My voice sounds like shit because I've just been like, I need to take singing lessons again. And I'm saying that like I have a good singing voice, but it was just not, it's not, I'm not doing what I need to be doing with it. I need to be it's like I'm playing guitar with my voice, because I quit doing formal lessons with guitar. Now I'm kind of just like learning songs I like and just trying to figure it out, like as if I found a guitar on an island and I have to teach myself. Like I realized, and I had a couple breakthroughs with guitar too. I want to talk about, I have so much to get to, so I'm going to be motor mouthing it for a little bit. This is this monologue, but we're going to get through it. First of all, major revelation with guitar. Noah, you also play guitar. You have sent me songs that you have, I forced you to send me songs that you've played. And I never got back to the one you sent. I think it was No Woman, No Cry, or it was some Bob Marley. Boom, 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 boom. It was so good. You do more like lead stuff. I just want to master rhythm and like be able to be a girl with a guitar in a cafe with nothing else. And a couple things about that, I realized that you don't need to be good at guitar if what you want to do is really, I want to express myself more in lyrics and my voice. And I already know how to do that, but not like, I have to take singing lessons again is what I'm saying, because that's the important part. And the guitar is usually just like to have nice in the background. Like no one really is expecting me to be Stevie Ray Vaughan, but I could be, you know. And then there's a whole other issue of finding your voice. Like I was watching all these YouTube videos on my flight back from the Caymans the other day, where I was watching YouTube videos of like how to find your voice, which in stand-up comedy literally took me. I mean, I was, if you watch early clips of me, I was recognizable, but for my voice of what I want to say, I think it was like this year that I found it. Like with the start of this podcast of like, okay, this is what I want to say. I'm confident about it. And this is just how I am. And I'm not going to try to be someone else. And that, you know, the Billie Holiday quote is in line that I shared with you is in line with all of this as well. Of like, if I'm going to have to sound like someone else, if I have to sound like someone else to be successful, I don't want to be successful. I don't want to sing is what she said. If I have to sing like someone else, I don't want to sing. And for me with singing, I always am trying to sound like someone else. When I try to do an impression of someone, I'm a better singer. Like if I do like, whoa, 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 like I can't hear myself because I'm not, but if I had control over this right now, I could sound pretty good. If I try to do like Lady Gaga, I could be like, what's another impression of like, even Ariana Grande. I know that sounds insane, but sometimes I do an impression of her and it sounds like her. I'm not going to try it right now, but if I do like Britney Spears, I can be like, she's so lucky, she's a star, but she, like if I sing in like a different register, I can be better. But then my own speaking voice, I don't know how to sing like the way that I would sound. Like Billie Eilish, who has a new single out, and we're going to talk a little bit about her in the you heard it here first coming up with Andrew. She has the baby voice that we talked about the other day, and a lot of people adopt that baby voice, and it's all like, you know, who you heard coming up. If you like Billie Eilish, I want to give a shout out to Charlotte Lawrence. She is a new artist who is just, I mean, follow her on Instagram. She sings these songs acoustic in her bedroom, on her bed, just like at night. And it's like, I wrote this day. And her voice is exactly like Billie Eilish's. It has a different little, like, I think they're the same age too. And Andrew and I were talking about it because we're friends with Charlotte, because we're friends with her father, Bill Lawrence, who created Scrubs and who is married to, hold on, is married to the actress. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. This is my like pothead brain. Hold on. Bill Lawrence, wife. This is the problem with women giving up their women like if actually I would just talk myself out of that argument because I was like, this is why women need to keep their own name. It's like, wait, she did. Her name's Krista Miller. She's an actress. I was like, it'd be much easier if her last name was Lawrence. I could just like plug in a name. Krista Miller. That's why it was a struggle for me because honestly, this bitch is so independent and had her own thing going on that she didn't change her name to her husband's name, Bill. Bill Lawrence, of course, also created Ted Lasso, which is the best TV show ever. I'm like, it's like The Wire of feel good shows, and it's funny and it's great. Have you seen it yet, Noah?
I've seen one episode, but it's only because I don't have, I think it's on Apple TV.
Yeah, Apple TV. It's worth buying Apple TV subscription and then canceling it as soon as you get through. It's 100% worth it.
Okay.
I'm going to like buy you a month subscription to Apple because I want you to get into Ted Lasso because everyone needs it. It is literally like Prozac for your soul. It's like it's like TV Prozac. I've never had a TV show make me feel so fucking good against my will, like during the pandemic. And that's how everyone feels about that show that sees it. And by everyone, I do mean everyone. Not one person has not liked that show. But the truth is, I've never heard someone say they don't like it. I'm on like a Ted Lasso fan Reddit subreddit. I'm a big fan. It's up there with Veep for me. And I can't wait to rewatch it pretty soon. Charlotte Lawrence is his daughter. I became friends with Bill through like developing a TV show together possibly. And now we're actually like good friends. And but daughter Charlotte was like becoming famous right around the time that I was talking to him, and he was like, my daughter's becoming famous. I was like, what? And then I got into her music and I was obsessed. I mean, I had her on You Up when I was in LA. She performed. I mean, she is so fucking good, you guys. Charlotte Lawrence. And I mean, I gotta be honest, first of all, she's exactly where she needs to be as an artist. She's not Billie Eilish. Like, everyone wants Billie Eilish's success, but like, the fact that she's not as successful as Billie Eilish yet means nothing about her as an artist, or if she never reaches that level. She's supermodel gorgeous. She just was on the Jimmy Fallon the other day and did an amazing performance. And she's, I think, 22, maybe 21, maybe 19. Maybe she's 19. I don't know. She's just like such an amazing voice for women. That this young woman that is able to poetically describe some trauma in her life that she's written about, just like guys that have done her wrong, like these young girls being able to articulate these feelings that I, as a 36-year-old woman, about to be 37 in 1 month, have struggled with, you know, pinpointing and even just feeling. And these girls, this, you know, 19-year-old girl is helping me feel my feelings. Charlotte Lawrence, just to get you into her, she has a new single out. I'm not like, literally, I'm not doing this for any other reason than I want you guys to like good music. The song is Slow Motion, is her new song, and it's so freaking good. But if you are into her and you want to know more songs that I like, DM me. But don't use it as an excuse to DM me. Like, some people, I think, use when I sometimes I'm like, DM me if you want to know how I recovered from my eating disorder, or how I'm, you know, sometimes I'll do that as like an outreach of like, hey, if you want to know how I did it, DM me, I'll give you the details. And sometimes I think people use that stuff as like to hit on me, of like, hey, my cousin has trouble with eating and what did you do? And I'm like, no, your cousin can ask me. You can tell your cousin that I have a secret solution to that. It's not even secret, but as always, DM me if you want to know how I am been not eating compulsively for a year of my life. And it's it's extraordinary achievement in my life as someone who is struggling with an eating disorder forever. So I just want to say that. Here's the thing I'm getting to. Charlotte Lawrence reminds me, and all I love female artists who sing about their heartbreak. Obviously, Taylor Swift is my number one, but there's, you know, Billie's up there now, Charlotte. And now I'm trying to get into Joni Mitchell. I've just gotten into, I've always resisted Joni Mitchell because my mom always used to like her. And it always annoyed me how much my mom like sang Joni Mitchell, and like Joni Mitchell like was so loud in my house, and I'd be trying to go to bed and my parents are like partying and my mom's listening to Joni Mitchell so loud, and I'm just like, oh. So I never, and Joni Mitchell's like, she's always up here, like she's singing all over the place and I can't mimic her voice, and it's too like, I want it to be a little bit more commercial. But now I'm into Joni Mitchell big time. Oh, big time. And it's lovely because I feel like it's a thing I'm sharing with my mom, because I knew my mom probably listened to these songs when she was going through heartbreak and stuff and like related in the same way. I'm talking like my mom's dead. I could literally talk to her about this anytime I want, because now I live back at home and I was with her yesterday and I wanted to murder my family yesterday within an hour of seeing them. And that is me. That is on me. They are just the same people I left and I love them so much. It's me. I have to really recommit to accepting them for who they are and not trying to change them and not trying to say, like, you know, I just want them to be well rested and happy and like calm and not anxious. Like, that's all I want for all of my friends. And I'm becoming kind of a control freak about it. Like, I'm getting ready to go on tour again. And I want to bring my friend Anya, who does this song, Anya Marina. She used to open for me on tour with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend and her, who is also a musician, he wouldn't play, but he was like, they were my tour managers also on tour. And this time I just want Anya to not be a tour manager, because I don't want her to ever feel stressed. And I just want to be around people that are happy. Like, I'm bringing her because she's talented. But the best way to be talented and to be the best friend that you can be to me on the road and have the best time is, like, let's all just calm down and, like, remember that this does not matter. Like, yes, these people came out for a good show and they paid good money to come see me at this theater that I'm touring this summer. But they don't want me to be backstage being like, oh, God, oh, the lights. Oh, the song isn't queued up. Like, no one wants that from you. So, like, if that stuff hits the fan, let's just roll with it, baby. Like, let's just all be on the same page of, like, everything's okay. Like, we had a lot of technical issues starting this show today, getting set up in my bedroom. I'm bringing Andrew in very soon. And, like, I just want to roll with it. Like, there was a moment there with Noah on the line where I was like, why doesn't this work? Like, why? Everything's new out of the box. Why? I was literally, like, pleading with it. And then... And that was a bad space to be in, because you never have to be in that space, you guys, ever. You can always just go, this is the way it's supposed to happen, and I'm going to learn something from this. And I want to also just say, before I bring Andrew in, final thought, because final thought of my monologue up top. I can be a twat sometimes and not think about other people. Also, I've been soliciting wart videos and pictures. If you didn't know that, I'm a wart head. I'm into warts. I want warts on your feet. I want to look at pictures of them. And I want you to tell you to do things to them. And it's weird. It's a weird thing. But, and someone wrote me and said, I feel really negatively. I'm paraphrasing, but they said, I feel bad to say this because I'm a big fan, but the way that you act like people's warts are just like fun for you to get, and they'll just video them and then you can send them. I have a wart on my foot that causes me to have a limp. I can't get it worked on because I don't have insurance. My insurance won't cover it. I don't have insurance. So I'm living with this thing that you just like want videos of. And I know that this is probably me just being angry because of the situation I'm in and I'm taking it out on you. He said that even. He was like, but it just seemed, I just want you to know. I'm like, wow, I didn't understand that side of things. Like, I didn't consider that. Of course I understand that side of things. I've had things that I'm sure people would love to see me pop over and over in my mouth, like that ranula I told you guys about when I was chewing gum incessantly. I just want to acknowledge that I'm not always right, and I'm very emphatic sometimes, but I always stand to be corrected. So if you can empathize with where I'm coming from and also put your point of view into a DM, that's always the best way to approach it with me in terms of, like, disagreeing with me. So I appreciate that. Let's get Andrew in here. Andrew, welcome to our show in its rightful place, which is our apartment in St. Louis.
Hey, man. It's good to be back. I had so many people at the tarmac waiting for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You can't even do that anymore, buddy. That's been since September 11th. You can't go to the tarmac.
Did you ever think when you were getting into comedy that you'd get so famous people would be waiting for you at the airport?
Always a dream.
Yeah,
like,
right?
I'm not even joking you. There was a thing that I made my friends do. I didn't want to do it, but I wanted to see. I heard a rumor, like, my friend said that he pretended to be famous and had his friends come up and ask him for an autograph in an airport, and then other people did it just because they thought he was famous. And I remember talking to my friends being like, I really want to do that, but I didn't want to be the person that was fake famous, because I want to be real famous, but I just want to see if it works, and I want to be a part of it, and I want to do it.
What, like, so did he actually do it? Did it work? And it worked for him?
Yeah, that was the tale.
Who did he pretend to be, like, an actor?
I don't even know. People just took pictures with this is 2000, so it was like or 1999, so it was before cell phones, but like, you know, he got like an autograph thing in the airport or something. Yeah, I mean, I used to just dream of being recognized and people ask me all the time, do you get recognized all the time? Which is what I used to ask famous people or people that I like that I met. I'd be like, "Oh my god, what's it like?" And I wish I'm going to become more famous probably if the world keeps going. And so I'll be able to say what it's like if I get recognized everywhere, but it doesn't happen often. I don't live my life thinking I'm going to get recognized literally ever.
I do love that your fame and the world falling apart is like hitting at a path. Like,
oh, I'm aware of that that irony that the world is deciding to cook itself at the when my life is greatest. No, I am like, I could die tomorrow and be like, yeah, I like had the best life.
Do you think it must have been so wild for like the Beatles to get off the airport from like England and have
screaming fans,
like 100,000 people that, oh my god, I
mean,
Beatlemania
was, oh my gosh, those women would have done anything. That was me with Dave Matthews. I understand that, just like Billie Eilish with Justin Bieber.
Were you a New Kids girl or no?
No, they were too old for me.
Every girl had a different guy on her back.
On her back? What do you mean?
Not like fucking, like Joey or like they each, like they had a denim coat and they would have pick their guy that they relate to. And I love the one girl that wasn't like as attractive, so she had to pick like Donnie or whatever. And it's like, I don't want Donnie. I want fucking.
That was the, you know, J.C. Chazé. No, J.C. Chazé was hot. Who was the, Howie?
Joey Fatone. Howie.
It's so wild Chris Kirkpatrick. That he was. Like the fat one, and his last name is Fat One.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's one of the most beautiful things. The most ironic, lovely coincidences of life.
And Chavez in English means skinny bitch, which is weird.
Chazé is his name. So that didn't really work, but okay. Chavez. Is that like a
He's from O-Town.
Or?
He's from O-Town. I mean, Chavez is... He's from O-Town. You don't know about Chavez.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know the O-Town voice, but man, I loved loving those celebrities. I wanted to talk to you about, well, first of all, how'd you sleep last night?
I slept good, man.
We're back in our apartment.
I'm like really happy here. I really like it here. I have like a little bit of a routine.
You're getting laid on the reg. I mean, that is so, I'm so happy for you. I really like... Andrew's back in town. He's getting
convincing you to stay in St. Louis.
I know.
Like,
now he's
you
like,
move me to St. Louis.
I'm like, our lives just fucking switched big time.
Yeah, we like, what's that movie where they switch roles? That'd be so fun to do one day.
I always feel like I'm Elaine and George when they switch in Seinfeld with you. Like, I will be on top of the world and then suddenly you're having the summer of George over here. It's the summer of George! Just doing the opposite and everything works out. I love that. I think that's a similar one, but do you ever see that one?
Yeah,
I reference
great.
Seinfeld way too much.
No, I watched a good amount of Seinfeld. So wait, what did you want to bring up? You said you wanted to bring up something.
I wanted to bring up the thing that I showed you last night. I'm obsessed right now. Speaking of, because I was just talking about Charlotte Lawrence at the top of the show, trying to get people into her, because we were talking about how her and Billie Eilish sound so similar. I was trying to find my voice playing guitar. I'm like, whose voice? Like, you can just start sounding like someone. And we both thought that they were probably influenced by the same people because they're the same age. So like, whatever similar interest those two had, it resulted in singing like, oh, like, like, oh, oh.
Is your JanSport gone again?
Oh. Singing like a baby and sometimes going, oh.
Well, the chorus is always like they're yearning for something. You know what I mean? They're just like, and then he went to go. It's like
they go into this like falsetto that I just. So they sound exactly similar. But anyway, they were influenced by similar people. That's why like I sound the way I do because of all the artists I was into and like. Like mixed together to make me whatever I am, and all my funny friends whose things I've adopted over the years.
It's also probably like an easy register to like not. I mean, look, a lot of people can do it, but like that register to sing in.
No,
like speaking, sing,
no,
speak, sing.
I don't. Oh, that like singing like this, like well, you know, there's Lou
As opposed
Reed.
To like
I
opera
can't
singers.
Anyone enjoys Bob Dylan, by the way. Like how he not that I love Bob Dylan and I'm like deeply moved by Bob Dylan, but. how he thought he would be a singer, and he just fearlessly was just like, I'm going to sing, and that is not a good singing like this. You would just think that, like, no one would be like, keep going, like, you're amazing, because everyone judges singing like operatically, you know? So for someone to be like, Bob Dylan and Beyonce are the greatest entertainers of like generations, and one of them sounds like this, and sometimes he goes and hit her like a freight. Okay, the one song that
I halo,
can I just talk
halo.
About one Bob Dylan
song? You know that
song?
One song? Halo, halo.
I can be a halo, halo.
Hey, halo down on 4th Street.
Yeah, well, okay, the one song I'm talking about, Simple Twist of Fate, I think he goes, can I look up the song real quick? Because
songs,
I just have one
issue. Wouldn't you agree,
issue?
Though, that Bob Dylan's songs, if he was singing, like, belting out these songs, it wouldn't ring as true to you? These are, like, spoken word. It's poetry.
No, I think that someone can make that song sound beautiful if they were, like, singing, like, you know...
Like...
You've got a lot of nerve to treat me as my friend. Like,
that's pretty
you could
nice.
Do, like,
that's
do
pretty
like
good,
a,
Bob. That's pretty good.
Right?
So that sounded like Bob or Dylan.
I was just trying to sound like some girl that was like on American Idol, being like trying to spice it up. But like, you can make it, it all is the same thing. His songs are beautiful no matter what. But the fact that we settled for them sounding like this mostly, and like hit him. Okay, the lyric is hit him like a freight train. So this guy is going through life, and he I think he gets a hooker early on. He like meets this hooker. She leaves in the night, and he wakes up, and he has this new emptiness inside that he can't even place. And he's like, all he does the rest of his life is look for another simple twist of fate where these two could meet again. And it's like, he says something, hit him like a freight train. He's like, hit him. I got to play it. I literally have to play it, because you guys got to know what I'm talking about, where I'm like, this. If some artist just came out of the blue with this song, right?
Yeah.
And was like, hey, I just wrote this song last night. My first song I ever wrote. And I think this is probably genius, but I think this is like songwriting that I don't understand, right? Like, I don't understand. Okay, here it is. I'm gonna sing along with it, but you guys aren't allowed to hear it. Okay. 'Twas then he felt alone. And wished that he went straight and watched out for a simple twist of fate. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, so this is the next part. They walked. Okay, hold on. I want to get to the. I swear to God, I'm going somewhere with this. Okay, are you listening to this?
Yeah.
Okay, and it hit him like a freight. Train. Like the
yes,
train.
Yes, yes.
Like, just why don't you just say hit and hit him like a freight train?
Or hit him like a freight train.
Or like, or
it wouldn't.
Well, he's trying to hit the freight.
Yeah.
Because in the last one, he said, and wished that he went straight, moving with a simple twist of fate.
Yeah.
And then he goes, hit him like a freight train, move it. I'm like, don't fit in train. And also, just say
that
freight.
That reminds me of my...
Everyone knows what a freight is. So will someone tell me why Bob Dylan chose to shoehorn the word train in there?
Oh, I see.
And
it could have been a freight carrier,
no,
like a freight, like a like a thing that you actually put on the train. You know
what
I mean?
I know, but like hitting something like a freight,
freight car.
I like that he did the train part. I kind of like it, but it is weird. What I wanted to get to, what we're going to talk about on the show this week, without question, but I want to just tell people to go check it out, is just give it a listen, because I'm preparing you for. Don't look into it. Just give it a listen. I want us to all be familiar with a song that someone recommended to me about a love that got away, and like feeling like. Talking to someone who's, I said I have an affinity for songs, sad songs, where you're talking to someone who has let you down. I mean, I guess it's all brokenhearted songs, but it's like they're saying a message of like, you're not going to forget me. Someone said, listen to Silver Springs by Fleetwood Mac. Now, I was very familiar with the song, used to be in love with it in high school. I listened to it all the time. And it's the live version that Fleetwood Mac did. So pull it up on your Spotify's, listen to the live Silver Springs. Don't Google it, because I want to tell you the tale of the Silver Springs renaissance that happened with that song. And I'll tell you that tomorrow on the show.
Yeah, no, I saw it last night. It is worth a watch.
And I gave Andrew the whole, I told him the whole story of it. And then we watched it, and it was so powerful. So don't watch it. I know this is hard.
We kind of look like them.
like Lindsay Buckingham kind of, and
no, you look like
I look like
and
Stevie
I look
Nicks.
Like the guitarist from
yeah. I mean, I don't think you look like the guitarist.
Identical, I think. If you
he's
real.
A very so he looks like Lyle Lovett. He's a skinny, like, very
he's got
thin
curly
guy.
Brown hair. Yeah, I guess. You're right. You're blonde
right.
Hair.
You're right. Listen, I love Stevie Nicks now, and I'm going into I'm leaning into a Stevie Nicks look. So go, don't watch it.
Yeah.
But please go and listen to Silver Springs, and I want to talk about that song because it. Thank you to the bestie that recommended that one to me. Oh my God, I can't stop listening to it. I was singing in the shower. Did you hear that? I hope you didn't.
I hear all your songs.
Not all of them. Sometimes they get really like specific for how I'm feeling, and it would be humiliating for you to hear me. What is it? What did that mean, by the way? I hear all your songs.
No, I hear you singing.
Okay.
I probably said it in a tongue-in-cheek way.
Okay.
But not in a mean way. Yeah. Tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. Tongue-in-cheeks. I don't know that we either of us understand what that means.
Not
that,
at all.
No. That just in a playful way.
The Beatles said it when they got off that plane. Callbacks. Hello. Tongue-in-cheeks.
No, first of all, no. Because
go back.
You can't just pick something that you like had a good run with. You're like, that was my moment on the show. The Beatles coming in, that I set the stage, I'm gonna call. Like, you can't just that a callback needs to have a relation to the thing.
That's what people think.
You're changing callbacks.
Hey, I'm changing it. Tongue
in
cheeks.
I'm into it. Tongue in cheeks. You heard it here first. Let's get to it.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
I hope you guys had a really great weekend. I swear, like, I hope you went out on the river. I know it's getting a little warmer out there for everyone, so I hope everyone had fun and you're having all the swells. I think I said it a little too tongue-in-cheeks last week. I really do mean it. I really want you to have the swells. I'm not being sarcastic.
Like, I love that phrase too, like just wishing people the swells, because that, if anything's an anthem for our show, like, that's what I want every day, is to, like, I want to feel the swells after this. And that is a thing we coined. We don't even know. It's just like, I don't even know how it happened. I'd have to go back and listen, or someone would have to tell me. But yeah, I hope you're feeling the swells. It's just like, I want everyone to feel swell after this, but also like feel like you're riding a wave. Like the swells are good. Like kind of gnar gnar pow pow.
Oh,
like
dude,
surfer
get,
lingo.
Oh,
like feel
dude,
the swells.
Just freaking hit the lip, dude.
You guys
hit the lip.
Start
get
using,
barreled.
Feeling the,
do a
the 180. Swells in your life. Bring out into the world.
We're coming out of COVID. This is the it's like the roaring 20s. This is the roaring swells of 20s.
Oh my God, it's getting crazy out there. What's going on in the world?
People want to get laid, dude. People want to fuck, apparently. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, now I could be horny. Like, the government's letting you throw that pussy around.
Disneyland's, Disney people are going out. Is that going to set you up?
Yeah.
Why don't you get to that story?
We'll
start with that one. That's a good, you know.
So the revamped Snow White ride at Disneyland.
The what?
The revamped Snow White ride.
Uh-huh.
Snow White ride at Disneyland, callbacks, tongue in cheeks, sparks backlash over the added true love's kiss scene because she is asleep and not able to give the prince consent. And critics say it models bad behavior.
Okay, so can I just decipher what he said to you, everyone?
Well, why? Why do you have to decipher?
Because
everyone understood
sure everyone
that.
It was clear because I was reading it as you read it, so I don't know if like it actually sounded like what it is.
This
it's
is
that's
a
not
bad
a
setup.
Headline.
This is a bad setup.
That wasn't a good headline at all. The Daily Mail makes just terrible headlines. So the Sleeping Beauty ride, is that the ride that we're talking about? That is the ride. Noah, can you share your screen of that story?
From now on, I'm going to read off so we're not both reading the story.
Yeah, because it's
too much pressure on the left side.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give you pressure at all. I literally did it. It was just up there and I couldn't help myself. Okay, so Snow White.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that said that in the thing. Okay, but also Sleeping Beauty, I think, needed to be kissed, right?
I mean, I think they all need to be kissed.
There's this is an unconsensual kiss, but that's the thing. But Snow White could only wake up if he kissed her. So like, because so if you are in a coma and no one and the doctors are like, the only way is if you finger her, will she wake up? No one's going to do it because I can't consent to it. Please, I mean, finger me if I'm in a coma. Actually, honestly, like, look, someone who like because maybe that'll wake me up.
Also, I if I'm sleeping, I wake up to a blowy or a kiss.
I know. We watched Summer House last night, and there was a scene. Summer House is so good. We're catching up on all those things. Remember the scene where she goes, they like got in a horrible fight, Lindsay and what's his name? And then they go to bed, and you just see this couple like that's inevitably going to break up, get in this terrible fight. They barely make up, and she's like horny and drunk. She's like, Well, you just, hey, if you think, he's like trying to sleep and like doesn't want to be intimate. You can tell because he's like still pissed about the fight. She's like, if you want to finger me in the middle of the night, like that won't be a problem. And I was just like, oh God, it made me so uncomfortable because it was just like, I've done it before. That's why it made me uncomfortable. Like just tried to get a guy to like love me again by like being sexual when he's pissed. And I also hate him. And then you end up having sex. And it was just like, it was very uncomfortable to watch that show for me last night.
But Snow White, has she hooked up with the prince beforehand, or is this the first meeting? Because that's a different kind of kiss.
I don't know.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. If they're in a relationship already, yeah, you can kiss me when I'm sleeping. That would be weird to wake up from a nap to a kiss, though, or, like, from anything. Like,
but if you're in a coma, I mean, I gotta say.
I don't think she's in a coma, though. I mean, she was in a coma. Yeah, I don't think she's in a coma.
I
think she's probably comatose, but she's, like, under a spell.
I thought she was in an actual coma.
It's a spell. That's why I'm saying it's, like, if a coma could, like.
Oh, I thought she was in a DUI accident.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's a different story.
Okay, yeah, he kisses her and it will lift her from the curse that was put on her by that old woman with the apple.
Maybe we'll take a poll on like if you like to be kissed awake in a relationship.
I think everyone would like that. But I don't want to say that because some people might be like that triggers me about the time I woke up to my uncle kissing me or something. I mean, like, shit like that happens all the time. Where
especially
people are like,
Disneyland.
Oh, God. I can't wait till we get to Reddit Dump later. Oh, my God, at Disneyland. Yeah, they have, like, little sections where it's like.
Reddit Dump just sounds like you're taking a shit and reading something.
I know. The thing is, you can pull up Reddit and take, a dump and, like, go on your Reddit. That's probably when a lot of guys are on Reddit, but I always look at it.
Have your legs ever gone to sleep because you sit on the shitter reading Reddit so long?
No, I've never sat on the shitter for a long time.
Oh.
I'm usually just done very quickly. Next story.
All right. You're going to love this one. Okay. Netflix rolls out the Play Something feature that suggests new series or film based on your algorithms and hopes to help end endless scrolling. So, like, no more, like, what am I going to eat at the buffet? Should I get the taps? Should I get the steak? Should I watch thing about the octopus?
I recommended the story last week, and I sent it to you guys because I just was fascinated by... I'm very interested in the paradox of choice, which is... Or, like, the... Maybe it's not the paradox. It's the
paralysis.
It's a paralysis of choice. Thank you. I knew it was another P word with the same, I think the same number of letters as paradox. But anyway,
it
the
is.
Paralysis of choice. Oh, thank you for doing that math really quickly that you didn't do just guessing as much as I am, but definitely did know it and said it with the confidence of someone who says ducks have 7 vaginas and 3 of them are rape resistant or something.
Percocet, same amount of letters.
That was like. So anyway, there's too many things to choose from nowadays. I used to remember this when I'd go into Barnes & Noble and try to get a book to read on my vacation. I'd always walk out without a book because I'm like, there's too many things I want to read and I can't choose. So that was the first time I was like, this is a dilemma. And now it absolutely, people scroll. All you do is endless scrolling, trying to find the perfect thing. And that's what I do with porn. Like always looking for like something will be better. And this is what people do in relationships. Like it's like Tinder. There's always something better. There could be a hotter girl. If I just, you know, wait, or if I keep swiping, like it's endless. It never ends. And now Netflix is they're realizing that people are not watching as much because they scroll and then they don't watch as much as they would probably watch. They scroll forever, but it's not as long as if they
pick something
to watch. Or
they're watching maybe 10 minutes of each show because they think something better's out there.
But whatever it is, it's waste. Because if that was enough to keep people plugged into Netflix and using our attention, they would be fine with that. If that was the entertainment, but it doesn't last as long as if you choose something. So they're trying to get people to choose. And people are requesting that. People are citing, like, all I do is scroll. This is so frustrating. So now they're doing this Play Next thing, which is going to kind of be like, I read this
YouTube
article.
YouTube does it right now.
Yes.
YouTube does it.
Yeah. But this is more of like treated like channels. Like it's almost like it's taking us back to just basic cable where you flip around and whatever is on is on. And so the algorithm knows you so well, just like the YouTube one does. But it just sounds like they've done a lot of research on it and that they really want us to be happy and they want us to waste our lives on these things. And they are coming up. Guys, be savvy. And Nikki, I'm talking to you too. I'm talking to myself here. Like, be aware of how these people are just fighting for your attention. Your attention is money. And so when you give your attention to something, it is like, you're giving a part of yourself to it, and that's fine. But this is just reminding me that I have to meditate again because that's what's learning. Meditation's all about like telling yourself what you're paying attention to.
We're going back. Like, it's so fun. Like, we're going to have to, like, read the Netflix TV guide now and, like, be like, oh, I could watch Blossom at 7 on next, at 3 Tuesdays
like
from now.
I love when I'm at a hotel and you turn on the TV and you're like, I don't have Netflix. Now all hotels have Netflix and you can connect everything. But, you know, a couple years ago, it was just like, oh, I'm just going to watch whatever's on. And then you end up watching something that you wouldn't have normally watched or, like.
Dude, my friend Glenn sounds fun, but in college, he was like, oh, I do streaming. And we were all like, what the fuck? You don't do cable? You're fucking weird. Like, I remember, like, I can really remember, like, when we were like, you're not going to fucking watch television. You're not going to watch TV. You're not going to watch cable.
What do you mean he was doing streaming?
Like, he knew about, like, stream. Like, he was so ahead of his time.
The streaming stuff wasn't around.
I'm telling you, he did something with computers where he knew before.
Oh, he would watch stuff. Like, he would pull up what he wanted.
Like, on demand. Like, yeah, right. Yeah. Like,
what?
Yeah.
He would download. What were those things called when people were
MP3s,
downloading?
MP3s?
No,
maybe?
It would be like
RARs.
It would be like these. RARs, yeah, like I remember LimeWire. I mean, I got all my music that way. Like, I stole my music, but yeah, people would just like download stuff online. Yeah,
and he was just like way ahead of his time. We were all like, "You're crazy! You're insane!"
Well, now
even with email,
it's not even on the dark web now. Like, it's just TikTok. I really want to do a study. I want to find a time where I can watch someone on TikTok scrolling and then I can go up to them and ask them, how many TikToks do you think you just watched? And they give me a number and I want to know if that number is wildly off or on. Like, I know we all look at our phone time usage and we go, holy shit, whoa. Yeah. I have limits on all my apps and so it goes off. And so I have to like be reminded after it goes off, like, you're doing too much today.
You can only watch 7 Black Draw videos today.
Black Draw.
And not the name of it, was it?
It's Blacked Raw.
Oh.
Black Draw, you thought, is what I was watching? Well, I guess that's something, too. Like, the Black Draw, like, it's a showdown.
Yeah, it's a show. What? They pull out their dicks? Like,
no, it's
they walk 10
Blacked
feet?
Blacked Raw.
Oh, Black
Raw. And I honestly really recommend it because all of the gangbang videos, the women seem to be having a great time and they're respected
but
throughout.
But this is
them,
what TikTok does. And I wonder if Netflix will do something similar because TikTok does essentially what we're saying. Like, they'll pick something based off your past views.
Mm-hmm.
But TikTok will go from, like, my TikTok at least will be like, you know, a girl dancing in a bikini to someone getting murdered.
Oh,
to,
really?
And I wonder if Netflix will be, like, smart enough where, like, just because I watched a romance comedy,
doesn't
I don't want to watch
that,
another romance.
Enough,
I want to watch someone
you.
Die after
I
that.
I promise you they're smart enough. They know stuff that they have more money than, maybe they don't have more money than TikTok. TikTok has China. There was a thing on Reddit the other day that was like, did we all just forget that China, like, has all of our information on TikTok? Like, is that, like, did we resolve that? Or, like, are we going to
well,
check in on that?
Well, apparently this company had to be sold, and it's like, it did
we're get, just like, we don't care anymore.
Yeah.
We
I
just
mean,
don't
like
care.
It's like UFOs. We don't, who are they?
I mean, China is doing surveillance on you through TikTok and gathering your data, and, like, we just don't care. It was, like, a news story for a week, and then Trump wanted to, like, get out of it, and everyone was scared TikTok would go away. I don't go on TikTok. I do have an account, but I don't go on it because it is like a drug that I am scared of because of how fast it is. It's like vaping. It's like the vaping of.
And that's why I hate Reddit, because Reddit to me comes off too much like I'm reading a like an old paper.
That's why I like it.
I just
it.
Hate
it,
how it's like set up.
Oh,
it's just not good
it.
For the eye. I don't
yeah,
think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it does. It you it isn't good for the eye, so you can't go on forever.
Yeah.
There's a limit. Because now TikTok is like, things are make you, they just want your time. They
oh,
want
I always
you to
feel
not
dumber.
Stop sleeping. They want, because if you stop sleeping, you'll do exactly what they tell you to buy. Because when you're when you're sleepless and you're sleep deprived, they don't care about you sleeping. These people do not care about your health. They want to keep you alive enough so that they can get you to spend money. And, like, they want you to work, obviously, so that you can make that money. But they don't care about you sleeping at all because it makes you, like, drunk when you don't sleep. And then you'll buy the things they tell you to buy. And these are not conspiracy theories. They're just, like,
no,
the truth.
Yeah, if you saw that documentary, The Social
The Social Dilemma. But
whatever.
Also,
yeah.
Like, watching the one that we watched with the data collection, that Cambridge Analytica, that documentary, good Lord. It's just like
we all think we're like free will,
yeah.
And the computers are just telling exactly. But they're you gonna, know what though? There's something to it where, like, let's say I go to the gym and the guy's like, "You're gonna do this workout, this workout, this workout." I don't have to think. I'm on computer mode. I'm like on sleep mode.
Yes.
And next thing I know, I've worked out for an hour. Mm-hmm. I haven't had to think about it.
Yeah.
And I remember when those things started coming out, the apps on your phone, I'm like, you're going to just follow a computer on your phone? Like, mm-hmm. I want like choices of what I want to bench or what I want.
Will just make.
But I kind of like it.
But computers won't treat you well. Computers don't have your best interest at heart. Do you understand that? Like, robots aren't like going to have compassion. Because humans don't have compassion for animals, which are things that we know. We treat animals like garbage so that we can. And so why would robots be any? I hope that we see how
So should we just stop making robots? Should we just stop now?
I don't know.
Do we keep going? Like, why don't we just stop?
Because at this point, they're making themselves. And so there is going to be a... It's so scary to hear about when the robots start to, like...
I mean, have you watched these videos of the Boston Dynamics?
Yeah. The Cambridge Analytica Boston Dynamics. Like, there's a lot of, like...
Yeah,
the Boston Dynamics. The robots that look like the NFL robot come to life and come to, like, rape and murder you. Yeah.
Yeah, the Omaha Platonics. Have you seen that? It's incredible.
Okay. Next story. It's terrifying. Yeah. So let's just live in the present.
They're kind of cool, though. Like, when they hit them with hockey sticks and then they fall over, like, on their side.
Oh, my God. Over the weekend, I was doing this Jimmy Kimmel Live. Jimmy Kimmel hosted this thing for autism, and it was on YouTube with this other, this, like, YouTube, like, kind of prankster that's, like, this older guy. And there, I'm watching it before my segment, and they're, like, raising money for Color the Spectrum, this autism charity. And every time they reach a limit on their little thermometer, they're like, they celebrate. And this guy, Mark Rober is his name, he's a YouTuber. He like has this, he goes, okay, so we reached this limit, so we're gonna have the robot kick a water balloon. And so they go out, and I'm like, what is this gonna be? Like a robot kicking, like it'll pop right away. And that's exactly what happened. It just popped right away. Then they showed it in slow motion. There was nothing cool about this at all.
And you then had to follow that, though?
Yeah, I came into it. I can't wait. And I'm trying to shoehorn this joke, but it took me a little. You can go watch it on YouTube, but I finally get to it. And I'm like, Jimmy, congratulations on all the money you guys are raising. I can't wait I can't wait till you hit the next marker or like whatever. I can't wait till you hit the next marker because I can't wait to see that robot like kick something even more thrilling than a water balloon. Like I hear next up, your next limit you reach, the robot's going to kick some wind. I was like, it's going to kick a light breeze. And Jimmy really laughed. And I go, that was like watching a water balloon. You could have just popped it with a needle. That was the same thing. I go, that was the most worthless. I go, that was such a waste of everyone's time, Mark. And the way Jimmy laughed was so
it was like 20
satisfying.
Million of tax dollars to just see a fucking thing.
They flew in this like robot that they put together. And it like, anything could have broken a water balloon. Yeah. It was so dumb.
There's actually
I just stumbled over it, but I really nailed the, like I was thinking about the punchline the whole time, and I was like nervous to shoehorn it in, so it was like very satisfying when he laughed.
There's actually a very funny TikTok guy that he'll like someone will like come up with a way to be like create, like for instance there's the bag for the bread, right? Like whatever, the plastic bag that the bread goes in. Someone like cut it and then tied it around and then like figured out a way, and he's like, like just puts the thing on there. Like he does everything the easy way when people are trying to be like creative and like try new ways to do things. And he just is like, why?
I mean, it was trying to record this podcast today, doing all the advanced things when really I literally just got equipment from the other room that I had that was like could have been working.
People watched you put stuff in black and white and put that Charlie Chaplin music to it.
What do you mean?
You know, do do do.
Why?
Because you're very fast moving. Everything's like.
Oh, really?
Everything's like you're plugging in, you're taking out, you're plugging in.
You should be so happy I'm fast. If I were a slow person, we would. Literally everyone that works with me benefits from me being a fast ass bitch because
Do you think you're at a measure twice, cut first, or are you cutting 30 times to?
I'm cutting 30 times.
That's
and
what
then
I'm saying.
Measuring the wrong.
But then it takes just as long.
Yeah, I agree. But when I know what I'm doing, then it's like fast. Like I know what
I'm. By the way, I'm a cut 40 times too, and not ever.
I'm
measured.
A cut myself after this conversation.
Measure first. Okay.
Next story.
Next story. Friendly exes Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are spending time together again after her.
Why can't you just say it? Like, you know what this is. Hey, Nikki, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are hanging out again. Why can't you just say it like that? Do you like reading it?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Okay. Then read it.
Okay. So, you know J-Lo and BF?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Benifers? They freaking...
Did you listen to Howard Stern today? Like, how does Robin read the news?
She does it way better.
No, it's not that she does it better. Like,
no, no,
but
she
you
just...
know this story. You can just be like, our next story is Ben and J-Lo are hanging out again. Like, Bennifer's back. Like, you could do it like that.
Yeah, I don't want to do it like that.
Okay, you literally want to read it, like, with no kind of... It just...
With, like, no, like...
With,
like, no judgment or, like, without
no,
you, like, interrupting?
No, I can't listen to it without judgment. But okay.
Here we go. Here we go. Yo, J-Lo and Ben Aff.
I don't know why you're making this like the like Charlemagne in the morning.
Yo, you want my reel? I'm showing you my reel.
Come on, let's do it.
Black draw. Yeah. Here we go. Okay, friendly exes. Okay, now I'm just reading it. Okay, Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are spending time together.
Yes.
They broke up a while ago. You know, she broke up with A-Rod because she thought he was cheating. Can you believe that shit?
I think he was probably cheating. I don't know what happened here, but I have been wanting them to get back together. Ben has recently split with Anna DeArmas or something, whatever. She showed up on my Explore page on Instagram the other day, and good Lord, she is gorgeous. I was obsessed with the photos of them over
she's
quarantine
so
of them
like the most
canoodling
girl ever.
And she's got she just seems so sweet when they would like walk the dogs together. I was like obsessed with their paparazzi shots. They broke up. Now he was spotted getting out of J-Lo's car the other night. And he was also at this live performance that she gave last night where she did like 4 dances and sang. And like he was in the audience, which is like so like hot to be like, oh my God, she was like getting to be hot and like impressive, and he's like sitting there watching.
It's remember when they were on the boat and she was in the thong and he was like had his hand on her ass?
Yes. I mean, they definitely, if they had something then where he proposed, they have something again. Like, they're both like older and both have kids. Like, I feel like it could happen. I love that. I love the idea of like people meeting up later in life and being like, let's give it another go at this stage.
I do like that. I don't like when people, because they break up, they're like, fuck you for their whole life, instead of like, no, you really loved this person at one time.
Yeah,
it's
that's
still
about
there.
Being able to forgive, or that's about that person being able to, it's about being able to forgive ultimately, because that's all you have control over. But it really does help when the person, like, you know, apologizes. But if you don't get that, it's hard probably for people to
lift
a grudge.
Okay, how do I put this? So let's say you think someone's cheating on you, right? And so you break up. And then 2 days after you break up with them for cheating, you go fuck someone else. Isn't it kind of like, wow, you
semantics?
Were like... Because you were like kind of close to wanting to fuck someone else too.
Yes, if you were able to fuck someone else in 2 days. That's why I was talking to my mom about this yesterday and she was really upset with me, but I just couldn't like... So we were talking about like once a cheater, always a cheater. And I'm just like, I understand that I could get, if I was with someone who I knew cheated, that they could cheat on me. But I also think everyone's capable of cheating. I think anyone could do it. Like, you don't understand the circumstances. And I don't think that, and also if my husband wanted to have sex with someone else, I would say that's kind of normal, right? Like, that wouldn't be crazy to me if my husband had the desire in his penis and his body to put his penis into someone else's body. He's a man, right? Okay, so that's fine. If he acts on it, that is something that I hope he can be honest with me about so we can talk about it and I can go, okay, well, obviously you're not getting something in this relationship that I'm not satisfying, that I possibly can't. Maybe it's a newness that you are seeking, a novelty that is like, I can't recreate. Oh, let's try role play stuff. Let's look into the symptom that this person is filling. Now, if I set it up a scenario where a man feels like he can't be honest with me about having a crush on a girl at work, like a legit crush, like I like her and can't tell his wife I have a crush before he acts on it, the first time it happens, like, that's how open they are of like, hey, I have a crush on a girl at work. That won't be fun for me to hear, but it also will give me a heads up of like what's going on. And if a guy, and then you can get in the way of it. If he doesn't tell me that, the crush, then
it builds
it
more.
Builds.
Yeah.
And then his resentment for me builds because I am letting him get away with this thing and he feels guilty for it. And he can't compartmentalize the fact that he feels guilty on his own. He has to put it, he has to be like, he has to justify it. So he finds reasons to hate me. Then he's building a bond with this person over the fact that I'm like, then he's getting close to her. Now there's an emotional bond there, not just a physical. Whereas if it was just a physical thing, we could have gotten it that out of the way. Okay, maybe you need to go have sex with someone.
Yeah, maybe random a girl
on Tinder. Well, let's like find a girl that knows that I exist.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't fulfill it, what's the problem here? I just think that cheating, I don't have a problem if a man is like gone away for an extended amount of time for him to be intimate with someone that he is not pursuing an emotional relationship with. I know you can't always like figure out exactly the way that you want that to be, and sometimes emotions can evolve from that if it's just, but I feel most of the time men can get a blowjob and not like fall in love with the girl. But if they do fall in love with her, just tell me and let's like work through it. Like, or, and I want you to go be in love. If you met someone who's better than me for you, go. As much as that will hurt, I will feel so dumb if you like always could have had this girl and you're fucking me and you're thinking about this girl that got away. That is a terrible position for me to be in. So I want to afford my partner the ability to be able to communicate that to me at any point, because I do not expect a man's libido to shut down, and I don't expect to be enough for every man sexually. And that's okay. It doesn't mean we have to break up.
Okay, would you possibly want to pick the woman that he could fuck? Like, what if you had more, like, if your husband wanted to cheat, he just wanted new pussy. Like, it wasn't even anything more than...
Yeah, it could become a fun thing, but maybe the guy likes the fact that it's secret. Maybe there's something that he likes about lying, and you got to look into that. But yeah, I did a thing on my show, Not Safe with Nikki Glaser, that I was trying to find a girl for my boyfriend to fuck. And so I went on dates with girls and interviewed them about, because I'm turned on by this whole idea, but I'm trying to speak from a place of a woman who would be threatened by this kind of situation. But yeah, I like, if
but here's the thing too, the guy that you're fucking would probably end up getting more jealous of you seeing you with her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it would backfire on him.
But I mean, like, picking on Tinder, it could be a fun thing to be like, okay, let's put on Tinder.
That's what I'm saying.
Put on your profile, I have a girlfriend. She's cool with it. And
it's the lying and the deceit, which actually then will, like you said, like, make the feeling stronger.
And if you like lying and deceit, if that's what you need to be in a relationship, like, that's not going to do it for you, because, like, it's not about the sex that you want to cheat. It's about, like, I want to trick this woman. Then go. Then I don't want to be with that person.
Yeah, you don't want to be with that person. Making a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sense.
Why do I care?
I'm alone, by the way. I'm single and have no idea what I'm talking about. Why do I care?
Why do I care?
Why do you care, Nick? Let's find out. Fans have mixed reactions over Billie Eilish's Vogue cover shoot. She's 19-year-old. She's dropped baggy clothes, and now she's doing like hot designer.
There's
like
controversy.
Lingerie. Apparently, yeah. I mean, look, like, her whole thing was not showing her body and, you know, like, not letting people judge her. And now she's, like, leaning. She has blonde hair. Now she doesn't have the green
hair.
Oh,
it was inevitable that this girl was going to embrace her sexuality and her femininity. Her new song is so sexy. It's just, like, oozing sex. It's, like, it's an angry song about a lover who like cheated with a young girl, or maybe she's the young girl in the song. She was like, you did, and she was only just your age, or something about her age. And I'm like, you're 19. How are you talking about this guy? How young was the girl this guy cheated on you with?
And she's keeping, you can't keep up a character. It's a character when you're wearing your green hair. It is you, but
everyone wants everyone to stay the same. But
no,
we
but
also
my point,
demand artists to change constantly. So it's like, what do you want, people?
It's like when Lady Gaga, like, put, she, like, kind of stopped with her whole thing, and people were mad, her, all her, like, little fans.
Yeah, people just
but
don't.
But here's the thing, there's
change.
A lot of Billie Eilish fans that are wearing these, like, really baggy clothes, and they finally, like,
she'll
leaned into it.
She'll still wear that stuff. All she did on Vogue was put on, like, a satiny, like, kind of boudoir look, and it was kind of vamped up. But Billie Eilish is fucking gorgeous, and she used to love Justin Bieber. She's like a sexual girl that had like really like strong sexual desires when she was young, from what I can tell from that documentary. She's like, she should be empowered to be sexy. I'm
agreed.
So and I'm not saying you're not saying this. Oh, it's like, everyone is so worried about the sexualization of girls, and they should be, because a lot of that is to exploit them. But like, feeling, being sexy, this is tricky, because we have to protect young girls from sexual predators and from being looked at as objects, sexual objects. But at the same time, I love feeling sexy and feeling like a little bit of objectifiable or whatever. Like last night we were watching Summer House, and these girls were talking about in the workplace, they have huge boobs, this black girl and then this other girl who's Hispanic, I think Latina.
Yeah, Danielle.
And they were talking about just like having to tone down their sexuality because they're so sexy. Like they have great figures, but having to like press down their boobs and like even her like really long curly hair, like guys just sexualize her ethnicity so much that she had to like tone it down so much. And I feel that way. That's why I never show my cleavage, because I don't want men being distracted. I don't want to have to like have my male friends be like, trying not to look at it like that. And then if I catch them looking at it, then my male friends, I'm like, oh God, they're like wanting to fuck me. It's just so gross. But at the same time, I love being sexy. It's very confusing.
Yeah, you know, like they say, you know, a girl with huge tits can wear the same thing that a girl with small tits, and somehow she's being a whore, as opposed to the girl with small tits is wearing the same thing.
Girls wear whatever the fuck you want all the time. That's the rule.
Agreed.
Really, that is the rule. Wear whatever like Billie the Eilish, fuck you want for whatever reason, even if it's to desperate to get people to love you. Do whatever the fuck you got to do to get what you want. Like, truly, if that's why, I don't care. The girls, people go, it's so clear she just like wants guys to like want to fuck her. Okay, good.
Also, you could dress and feel beautiful and not like care about the guy wanting to fuck him.
Even if that is your motivation.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
good.
Yeah,
sweet. Do whatever you want.
That's why I wear short shorts.
Let's get to Reddit dump.
And I cleavage my nuts.
It's time for Reddit dump. This is where I read the saved posts that I wanted to like regurgitate to you guys. I read Reddit every night before I go to bed, and the stuff I come across in there is just so good, and I'm always like, I want to share this with them. So this is where I just go through all my saved posts as quickly as I can. Oh, this is a good one. It's called Sad Cringe. This is from the subreddit Sad Cringe, and these are just things that are just like, oh, that's so sad, and like make you cringe. This was a tweet from Blockbuster. It's a screenshot of a tweet from Blockbuster.
From what year?
September 22nd, 2011. It says, tweet while you're leaving Netflix. The top three most creative tweets using hashtag goodbye Netflix will win a 1-year subscription to Blockbuster.
Oh my God.
It is just so sad.
They were trying.
Sad cringe. This was a good one. This is called from the subreddit Shower Thoughts, which is just interesting, like kind of high thoughts. When a loved one dies, you become the sole carrier of inside jokes no one else will understand. I thought that was kind of poignant, and I had never thought about that before. But I feel that way, like when a relationship ends and you can't talk to the person anymore. You're like, oh, that's, and someone wrote, the first comment to that is, I feel this deeply. And I was just like, oh, that poor, I like felt sad for that person. This one was great. This is from a subreddit, True Off My Chest. So this is just like, this is something I gotta get off my chest. And it's, I don't know, True Off My Chest. I think Off My Chest is also another subreddit, but this is True Off My Chest. It's a subreddit. This is from Outlying_Bounds. My parents died in a car accident. This is like, this is probably going to take us into the end. My parents died. This is a story. My parents died in a car accident.
Can you say like Robin Wood?
What do you mean?
Like Robin Quivers, like quick.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
my parents died in a car accident when I was little. That was kind of good, Robin.
That was pretty good, Robin.
My parents died in a car accident when I was little, and I was taken in and raised by my aunt and uncle. I was in the back seat when the accident happened. Apparently, it happened when I was 3. Me and my parents had spent the afternoon at the park, and we were on our way home as it rained. They went through a 4-way intersection and got hit on the driver's side by someone in a tow truck who tore through and hit our car. The car rolled a few times until we landed on the sidewalk. I still have small scars on my left cheek from broken glass that hit me, but apparently I was okay in my car seat. My parents didn't make it to the hospital, though. I was actually taken in by my grandparents after it happened, but my aunt and uncle took me in permanently when I was 4. I spent years just calling them my mom and dad, as I just didn't know any better. And my uncle does kind of look like me, so other people just assumed he was my dad. They finally broke the news to me, I think, when I was 8 or so, and told me everything that happened. I remember not crying or getting upset, just kind of dumbfounded by the whole situation. Though my aunt was crying, having to relive the horrible event. They reassured me that we love you like our own daughter. We always have and always will. And I believe them. I stopped calling them mom and dad a little while after that, simply because I knew the truth. I now knew the truth, but I still love them the same. I think what really broke me was when we spent an entire weekend watching old family videos my uncle had converted from VHS to DVD in his free time, showing stuff like weddings, birthdays, holiday parties, all that. I saw family members in those videos I'd never heard of or seen before. It was when we would see the videos of my parents that I got choked up and cried. Those videos are the only things I have to know what their voices sound like. And what really sent me over was seeing how much I look like my mom. They seemed just so happy and not having a thing to worry about other than me. I never knew them, but I miss them like you can't imagine. but I'm glad I was lucky to be taken in by my aunt and uncle and not put into foster care. I see them as equals to my actual parents. Whatever good parents are supposed to do, they've done it however many times over. And even when I've had my angry, angsty times with them, for whatever reason, my uncle was always the first to either open his arms for a hug or wouldn't push me away when I hugged him first to apologize. He's always made me feel safe and as if nothing bad will ever happen to me when I'm in his arms. And my aunt is the purest soul on the planet next to my grandma. I honestly am crying right now thinking about how happy they've made me and how happy I am to be theirs. Isn't that so sweet?
It's ironic to get hit by a tow truck.
What do you mean?
Because that's the truck that usually takes the crash cars away, you know?
That's what you were sitting on the whole time I read that.
No, I'm just saying.
But yes, it is ironic.
It's like getting hit by an ambulance.
I mean,
but
that
yeah,
is...
No, that was...
Can you imagine... The first
I was
of all,
getting emotional
I was
that.
Wondering at what point you're 3 years old and you just stop crying that, like, you, at three, you start... You're talking, right? Like, my... Poppy is two. She turned two today, and she's talking. And, like, what point do you just go, like, these are my... Like, that... You, like, forget about those parents, you know? Like, or if you try to keep the memory alive. But this is what I loved. This was a comment
that
someone
wrote. Isn't it better
that
she was that young?
I mean,
imagine being in that car wreck and seeing...
Is it better because she doesn't remember them? She only sees them on this videotape, and like, there'd be some part of you that's like, I wish I remembered anything about them.
But yes,
I understand. Like, it would be better
remembering
traumatically.
That wreck would be, oh my God.
Yeah.
Your life would be...
It's a very interesting thing to just some, like, your life split because seeing my puppies too, if something happened to her parents and she would just... But she knows my sister and brother. Like, she would be more in their law. Like, she would be, like, confused, but she wouldn't remember that morning, you know? Like, that's the weird part. Is like, it's not like a two-year-old doesn't know her parents. Like, they would have to process that somewhere in their head, whether they remembered the trauma or not.
And we would raise her, me and you, together as a team.
Oh, I don't think about that. But this is what I love. This is the comment that I loved. She said... This comment on this goes, I have to comment on what you said about never having known them. You knew them. You did. My daughter's 2.5 and we know everything important about each other. Science says that when you were born and both your father and another male were having a conversation, you would turn your head, you would turn your head towards your father. Toddlers can be blindfolded and find their mothers in a room full of women by feeling their faces. You knew you were safe and loved by your mother's scent and her body had physiological changes because of your proximity. You knew each other. I'm sorry you didn't get to know her as a peer and share secrets, the kinds of things that happen only when you're grown, but you did know her while she was here. If she were to walk past you now, you'd both instinctively know it. I thought that was so lovely.
Do you think, though, like, whenever you hear these stories, I swear I'm not just
final
trying to
thought.
Be
yeah.
Pessimistic here, but it's going to come off that way. Like, we always think the parents were great. Like, what if they were horrible parents and maybe this was like a blessing in disguise to like have her raised by better people?
Yeah.
But like, we always just assume like you never got to know. Well, maybe they weren't great.
No, I mean, that's true. It's like whenever someone dies, everyone's just like so sad, but maybe they were a real piece of shit. And now so many people are going to like not suffer because that person was like... Yeah, that's true. That's a nice way of looking at a thing that already was a nice way of looking at it. I thought we closed in a nice way, but now you're like suggesting that her parents were terrible people. I mean, at first I was thinking, oh, I probably want her to hear this at some point. Like the girl that wrote that, maybe like me reading it. But now I definitely like don't.
After what I said?
Yeah,
can I go back then? Okay. I'm sure your parents were dope. I'm sure they were great and they loved you very much.
It's just, death is so weird. And I like haven't, and I went to that Reiki, I went to a Reiki healer the other day as we go into the final thought. And she like read my energy and told me that I have spirits around me all the time and angels and spirits like trying to guide me. And I'm not like open to hearing their words. So I like, can't let it in. And I was like, are they dead people? It was like very confusing because she was like, they're angels and spirits. You need to listen to your spirit guides. And I'm like, I sometimes talk to dead people, but like, do you like, who's the, in your life, the, your biggest like death loss?
Oh.
She goes, do you know a lot of dead people? And I'm like, I will, like everyone I know will die or I will die. And, but like that would suck to be the last person you know to die. Then no one's going to be sad when you die.
There's different kind of impacts, I think, from death. Like when it's your grandparents, you kind of have an understanding that they're older, but it could hurt a lot and could have a huge. But in your head, you go, grandparents they were 80.
Yes.
So I had a friend named Dan who died of an overdose. Mm. And that hit me a lot going to that. I've never been to a funeral where someone was like my age.
Right.
And that's like a whole nother.
I know.
Also, he died of like overdose. And I think I've told you this before. The person telling the speech was like
high.
Was high and talking about him. Like, Dan was always the number one partier, dude. He loved to jet ski off mountains, dude. And like everything he was saying is like why Dan is dead. Like, he always went hard in the paint. Like,
oh my God.
He was the shit, dude. He always wakeboarding.
Were you guys laughing so hard?
No, I was just like terrified. And I was like, this is why he fucking died. Yeah. Like, this is the guy.
Sometimes at funerals, people can give, like, you can start chuckling so hard at a funeral because you're just so, like, the laughing and crying are so similar that sometimes something at a funeral can really make you laugh.
Oh, dude, like, when I have an absurd, like, my family from New York, and we had, you know, bury my grandpa Marvin, and, like, we're, like, putting the rocks.
Wait, I love when you were, wait, wasn't the grandpa you were on a Greece vacation?
Oh, and my
you were
God, like, this is a really funny story. This is really, so I was in Eos. And so we were 6 hours by boat ride away from Athens where you could even fly out. So
this is the trip where you saw Heath Ledger 4 times, right?
Yeah, I saw Heath Ledger twice. We could get into that.
No,
we
only have 2 minutes. Another time, yeah.
Okay, so mind you, we're in Eos, and this is the same day I met Pacey. My grandpa died.
Yes.
So my grandpa dies, and we can't get back. And they're like, you know what? He would want you to just, you know, do, you know, jello shots off a girl's tits. Like, that's what Grandpa Henry loved. So we're like, all right, we'll do that for you, Grandpa. So I write a poem, and I spell Grandpa, G-R-A-M-P-A. And it was read in front of everyone. And apparently that happens sometimes. But Grandpa.
Grandpa. It's like how we say it, kind of. Yeah, it's how you say it. Grandpa. But instead of grandpa, got it. Yeah.
So I wrote this poem that was read in front of everyone. Everyone must have been like, this is like, it was.
Wait, so you faxed a poem to be read in your honor?
No, I wrote an email, I believe.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, fax I sent to Bert. But yeah.
You're like writing a poem hungover, like on a poolside.
Next
like,
to Pacey from Dawson's Creek.
Oh my God.
I think I asked Dawson how to spell grandpa, so he. Fuck him. He fucking tricked me because I took his girl. But yeah, I don't know. It is funny when you have a misspelling on something that's like so heartfelt.
Yeah, that is.
Like if you read something heartfelt, I feel like you couldn't get past the spelling or grammatical error to really take it. Like it would take away.
Little kids write like, Santa, thank you for Christmas. I want my mom to have legs, you know, and it'll be like legs is spelled like with a Z and it's cute. Oh, yeah, you were 22. That's the thing. That's
no,
the
but I just feel like I do think like I'll read a sincere Instagram post and someone will use then and than wrong. And it's something like I really
and
like.
And I go, fucking learn how.
Like, sorry, your dog died, but yeah. Then.
I go, thanks for your fanship, but blocked. Because until you learn they're there,
my
it's
friend.
It's as hard, though. It is. And who's.
And whom?
Who's.
Who's and
who's. The trick with who's and who's, W-H-O-S-E and W-H-O apostrophe S, if you're wondering, is like if you say it and you could replace it with who is, then it should be who's with an apostrophe. If you can't, it's the other who's. All right. Other who's, we got to go. I got to jump on the Sklar's podcast.
I got to
name drops.
Yeah, I got to jump on
twin
my
drops.
Own too.
Thank you for listening. We'll be here all week and go listen to Silver Springs for me. Please be prepared. That is your homework for tomorrow's episode. Bye.
Bye.